Hi out there, all you college football fans. This is episode 5 of our podcast, The Fifth Quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. We will this week review the happenings on field and off field during week 3 of the college football season. We'll take a look at some other issues in the sport. There's a doozy happening here right now in terms of conference realignment. I thought we were done with that, but no. And then we'll take a look at some featured games and make a few predictions for week 4 coming up. All right, let's start locally, as we usually do. During week 3, Ohio State had a bye. Every team gets 2 byes this year. We've mentioned that before, but it's worth remembering. Ohio State had a bye week 3. They'll be back in action this coming Saturday. The Akron Zips had their first victory, I should say, of the year. They beat Colgate. After falling behind 17-0 at InfoCision Stadium, they came back for a 31-20 win. Congratulations to Coach Moorhead and his gang. Kent State had an unfortunate visit, except for financially, to Knoxville, Tennessee, where they lost 71-0 to the Tennessee Volunteers, who are a top 5 or 6 team in the nation. A little bit more about that one here in a bit. All right. Thursday night, speaking of scoring a lot of points, we had a team score 87 points in a game. The team was South Alabama. They won 87-10. They had 6 minutes of running clock in the fourth quarter out of sheer mercy, I guess. That was offered to Kent State, by the way, by Tennessee. They offered to have a running clock in the second half or shorten the quarters, and Kent State said no. So that's their choice. But South Alabama won 87-10. That's crazy. Friday, a couple of big games, really, in the Big 12. Kansas State looked strong. They look good. That young quarterback is pretty interesting. That looks to be a fun conference to follow, by the way, the Big 12. Kansas was nipped by UNLV out of the Mountain West in the other game Friday night. Kansas is off to a 1-2 start, maybe surprisingly. UNLV looks very solid and looks like they could contend, along with Boise State, maybe, for that Mountain West championship. Okay, on Saturday, I guess the headline was Florida State losing again for the third straight game. Memphis, a good Memphis team, let's not sell them short in all of this discussion about how bad Florida State may or may not be. Memphis has a very good team. Memphis went into Tallahassee and defeated the Seminoles 20-12. Florida State's 0-3. And boy, it just doesn't look any better for them. I keep maintaining that DJ Uiagalelei, their quarterback, he does not seem to be either willing or able or coached to throw a ball between the numbers, even. Nothing near the middle of the field. The one time I remember him throwing near the middle of the field on Saturday was just a fadeaway lob that got intercepted, like a Hail Mary pass almost. Everything they complete is outside, is numbers or outside toward the sidelines. I don't know if it's coached. I don't know if it's him. I noticed it in their first game over in Dublin against Georgia Tech, and I noticed it again on Saturday. Great win for Memphis, by the way. They're 3-0, and they look very solid in the American Conference. One that's near and dear to my heart, my father used to go to a bunch of the backyard brawls, as I've mentioned before. West Virginia choked that one away up in Pittsburgh Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. They had a 10-point lead, took a 10-point lead with less than 5 minutes to go, and in a great hurry gave up 2 touchdowns and lost the game to Pitt. That's very tough for them to swallow, A, because it's their big rival, and B, because their schedule doesn't get easier from here on out. They are now 1-2 with losses to Penn State and Pitt, and their schedule is one of the toughest in the Big 12. So tough sledding may be ahead for the Mountaineers. Michigan had some trouble. I hate to say that. Their quarterback, Warren, threw 14 passes. All 14 of them were caught. That doesn't sound like trouble until you say that 3 of them were caught by the other team, the Arkansas State players. So he was replaced in the third quarter by Alex Orji, who's a good runner but can't throw a lick. So they have some quarterback issues. And their best player, Colston Loveland, a tremendous tight end, didn't limp off the field, but his arm was hanging down at his side when he came out after a couple of hits. We'll see how that progresses. They're talking more like that's a week to week thing. We'll see how that goes. They have Southern Cal coming in this week, by the way. They won 28-18 over the Red Wolves of Arkansas State at home. That's not overwhelming, certainly. They're 2-1. Southern Cal comes in for their first ever Big Ten conference game, and that'll be prominently displayed on televisions all over the country, I'm sure. Now, the other team I wanted to mention that had an injury problem was the Wisconsin Badgers. 5 minutes into their big game at home against Alabama, Tyler Van Dyke, their quarterback, injured his right knee. I haven't seen yet. I looked this morning and they had no diagnosis yet. But I've seen too many MCL, ACL type injuries to think that that was not one of them. We'll see. That's just speculation until we hear from the doctors up there in Madison. But that's tough for them, that they really don't have anybody of his quality backing him up. The Tide went on and rolled them up there in Madison, 42-10. So might be tough for Luke Fickell. He's catching a little bit of heat now up there. I don't know if he deserves that, but that happens, unfortunately. He's a good guy and a Buckeye, and we wish him well, but not a good start for them. And that's a tough injury for that team. Now, the other a couple other things I wanted to mention about Saturday's games. We'll talk about my picks later. Notre Dame took it out on Purdue, didn't they? They rebounded from that home loss to Northern Illinois last Saturday and went to a place where they've not always enjoyed a lot of success. A lot of those games in West Lafayette between Notre Dame and Purdue have been close. Purdue's beat them a few times. That's not their favorite place to play. Boy, you could have fooled me on Saturday. The Irish took it out on the Boilermakers 66-7. It's the largest margin of victory by either side in that series, which goes back to 1896. They just kept scoring. They kept scoring. They kept scoring. Purdue couldn't do anything. A really bad look for Purdue, especially since they had a week off before that game to prepare for Notre Dame. But very strong recovery by the Irish there. Also, I would point out in light of Saturday's action that Coach Billy Napier down at Florida has a $26 million buyout in his contract, in case anybody down there in the Gainesville area is interested in, pitching in a little bit. Boy, they are down and out down there. Texas A&M rolled them in the swamp. It was at 1.33-7. It's pretty ugly there. So two of the three major schools, well, major schools in Florida, are really having their troubles. Florida State 0-3, Florida 1-2. The other one, Miami's not having any trouble at all. They look very solid and very dominant. But the other two, yikes. Okay, top performers here. We'll mention a few people here. Nick Nash, San Jose State, 17 receptions in their 31-10 win over Kennesaw State for 225 yards and three touchdowns. Wow, that's a great month for a lot of receivers. Joey Aguilar, quarterback at App State, was 32 for 47, 424 yards passing and two touchdowns. They eked out a win at a tough place to play at East Carolina, 21-19. And we'll mention Talmadge's own Colin Dixon of the Fighting Illini. He had two receptions for 36 yards in their 30-9 win over Central Michigan. Way to go, Colin. He's a great guy. He had a Zoom meeting with Talmadge Middle School children earlier in the week where he answered their questions and talked a little bit to them about what it was like being a college athlete. Just a great guy. Nice job, Colin. Way to go. Before we get to how my picks went, we have one correction, and thanks to listener Nick Brausch for this one. Nick corrected me on the Miami-Cincinnati series. I mentioned last week that this was the last scheduled game in that long 128-game rivalry between those two neighbors down in Southwest Ohio. Nick pointed out, and he's correct, that there's one more game scheduled, not next year, but the year after, 2026, at the formerly known as Paul Brown Stadium, Paycom Stadium now in Cincinnati, Paycor, I guess it is. There is no contract for any games between the two after that one. So they'll skip 2025. They will play in Cincinnati at the Bengals Stadium in 2026. And after that, who knows? It would be a shame if they quit playing. Cincinnati won the game at Miami, by the way, this past Saturday. Thanks, Nick, for the correction. I appreciate it. Okay, as far as my picks go, my record going into week three was 5-4-1. I picked four games with the spread. I picked West Virginia to cover and or win against Pitt. Thanks a lot, Neil Brown. I picked Miami to cover or win against Cincinnati. That didn't happen. I picked Purdue, oh, this is embarrassing, to cover the 12.5 points against Notre Dame. I fell short by about 48 points or so. And the one I got right was Indiana. The Indiana Hoosiers went out to the Rose Bowl for the first time since January 1st, 1968, and demolished the UCLA Bruins 42-13. I picked Indiana to win that game and cover the three-point spread. Indiana is much improved. It looks like Cignetti has done a good job of getting them ready for their first three games. It'll be interesting to see how they fare in other Big Ten games. UCLA is not very good. They'd only played one game prior to that one. At week one, they nipped Hawaii and got blown out at home by Indiana. They may be in for a long season, the Bruins. But, you know, Indiana's a team to watch come moving forward. All right, some other issues in the sport. One, we'll mention a couple of paydays that happened and went wrong for the payers on Saturday. We've mentioned that some teams get lots of money for playing these games against bigger, more known schools. One of them this week was Memphis. Florida State paid Memphis $1.3 million to come down to Tallahassee and kick them in the butt, so to speak. So Memphis gets back on the plane with the check for $1.3 million and a big win and a lot of momentum. Congratulations, Memphis. The other one was the Toledo Rockets. The Toledo Rockets went down to Mississippi State in the SEC. Mississippi State paid Toledo $1.2 million to come down there, and Toledo just throttled Mississippi State, beat them badly. The Mac Pirate flag flew again for the second straight week. Good job, Mid-American Conference. But Memphis and Toledo made seven figures for their visits to those schools and brought back big wins. So, hey, you know, everything's coming up roses for them. Nice job. The big story in the sport this week off the field was the announcement on Thursday morning that the Pac-12, which currently is two schools, Washington State and Oregon State, they still have the rights, the name is still there, they have funds, etc. The Pac-12 has added four more schools as of the 2026-27 academic year. In other words, not for next year, but the year after. Those four schools are going to be poached from the Mountain West Conference. They are Boise State, San Diego State, Colorado State, and Fresno State. That leaves the Mountain West with only eight schools remaining. Eight is the minimum number of schools for being an FBS conference, according to the NCAA. People are saying no to some other schools going into the Pac-12. There's six now coming up in 2026. A lot of speculation about Cal and Stanford, who are new members of the ACC, going in back to their old conference and making it eight. Smart people, a lot smarter than me, are saying that's not going to happen. There's more money for them in the ACC. Plus, it's better for Stanford's Olympic sports, which are the best in the country. So it's doubtful that the two additions to the Pac-12 would be Cal and Stanford. There's a lot of speculation, obviously. The ones I've seen mentioned the most are some combination of Memphis, Tulane, UTSA, schools out of the American Conference. Also, probably a good idea here. I saw a couple of places where they mentioned adding Gonzaga just for basketball. Now, that would be a good move if they could get that done. Gonzaga has either a Division III football program or no football at all. I don't remember. But, you know, will the American Conference get raided by the Pac-12? We'll find out, won't we? But, you know, it's a disturbing trend, but it's happening, and you can't blame the Pac-12 schools for being aggressive and trying to reconstitute a conference. Would that conference be a major conference? I doubt it. It wouldn't be one of the Big Four at this point, certainly. But it would certainly be geographically based, unless they add Memphis and Tulane. Okay. It's all crazy, isn't it? Anyway, those are some other issues in the sport for this week. We'll move ahead and we'll look at some action for week four coming up. Locally, we always want to take care of our local schools. Akron will be on one of those money trips. They'll bring a seven-figure check home from Columbia, South Carolina, where they just hosted a heck of a good game last Saturday with LSU. It didn't end well for them. They missed a field goal to win it by about 6 inches or so. Akron at South Carolina this coming Saturday. Kent State will cash another check and be demolished, this time by the Penn State Nittany Lions in Happy Valley. And the Buckeyes are back in it. It will be the big noon Saturday game on Fox. Marshall, the Thundering Herd, will come up from Huntington, West Virginia to face the Ohio State Buckeyes. A lot of people are remembering their game at Columbus 20 years ago in September of 2004 when Mike Nugent kicked a 55-yard field goal on the last play of the game to win the game for Ohio State. I don't look for this coming week's game to be that close. Marshall's no slouch in their conference in the Sun Belt, but this Ohio State team looks loaded. So we'll see. We'll watch that one and cheer them on. Okay, here's the four that I'll put my now 6-7-1 record in picking games on the line for. I've picked four games for this coming week. Tennessee will play at Oklahoma. This will be Oklahoma's first SEC conference contest. They'll be hosting a really hot offense in Tennessee. Oklahoma's 3.5-point underdogs at home in Norman. I'm going to pick the Vols. They look like their offense just can't be stopped. Oklahoma's not scoring a lot of points this year. Maybe their defense is a lot better. But I'll pick Tennessee to win and cover the 3.5. Southern Cal, as we mentioned before, will be at the Big House playing the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan are 3-point underdogs at home. I'll take the Trojans. I think, as we mentioned earlier in the podcast, the Wolverines have some issues right now, health-wise and at quarterback. And USC's coming off a week off, and they look pretty good. So we'll take USC to win and cover the 3 points. One of the trophy games coming up in the Big Ten this week, Floyd of Rosedale, the Big Pig, will be on the line as Iowa travels to Minneapolis to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. The Gophers are 3.5-point underdogs in that game. Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I'll take Minnesota in that one to cover the 3.5 points. That ought to be a close one, low-scoring game. Floyd's on the line. They're both going to fight their hearts out for the Pig. Finally, a really good one in the Big 12, Utah, presumably with Cam Rising back at quarterback. He sat out this week's game with Utah State. Was dressed, probably could have played, but they held him out. Had a couple fingers injured the week before. He should be playing. I imagine if he doesn't play, they'll change the line pretty quick. Utah's 1.5-point favorite at Oklahoma State down in Stillwater. That promises to be a really good competitive game. I'll go with the Utes. I've been on them all year. Kyle Whittingham is just one heck of a football coach. I really like what that guy does with those Utah Utes. Last year, everybody got hurt, and he won 7 or 8 games anyway. Utah in a close one, but I think they'll win and cover the 1.5-point spread. Oklahoma State is underdog at home by 1.5. So we'll go with Tennessee, Southern Cal, the Gophers, and the Utes for our picks this week. Good luck to all the local teams. Hopefully they come home in one piece. Akron and Kent, certainly. Use the money wisely that they get. All right. Well, that'll about wrap it up for the fifth quarter for this episode. Enjoy the games, everybody. They start up on Thursday night. And have a good week, y'all. Thanks.